إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. Continue reading from selected narrations and from the chapters in Riyad al-Salihin. The explanation of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullahu ta'ala. I was still reading from the chapter number 11, Babu Al-Mujahada. This chapter 11, to struggle and to put effort, because nothing will be done without putting forth an effort. And we bring in these narrations so that we can learn from our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he is the example. الحديث الرابع على عائشة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقوم من الليل حتى تتفطر قدماه، فقلت له لما تصنع هذا يا رسول الله وقد غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر، قال أفلا أحب أن أكون عبدا شكورا. متفق عليه، وهذا لفظ البخاري ونحوه في الصحيحين من رواية المغيرة بن شعبة. This narration on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand in prayer so long that the skin of his feet would crack. I asked him, why do you do this while your past and future sins have been forgiven? He said, should I not be a grateful slave of Allah? And this is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari or Imam Muslim. Just to give you a brief summary of this, what we are dealing with here in this chapter and what we are learning actually, is something that is of extreme importance for us to remember, is that nothing happens just like that. You gotta put the effort. People, they're not going to sit back and lay back and things going to come to them. But rather you have to make an effort, set for yourself a goal, and you have to do it and try. It may be hard in the beginning, but don't give up. That's what this struggle. The struggle is to stick with it, to stay with it. Do it again and again until it becomes easy for you to do by Allah's will. And remember, anything you don't know, it got to be the most hard thing for you. And until you learn how you do it. Once you learn how you do it, it becomes easy for you. So you give it some time, you struggle, and that's why we're learning. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, in the explanation of this hadith, he says that Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he selected this narration on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha as one of the proofs in this chapter. Al-Mujahada, to struggle, and that a person should struggle against his own self and to make sure that he's upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling his obligations. And that's what the person is created. But that requires patience. He's got to be patient. Those who have no patience, because he cannot strive and struggle without being patient, because you have to do it again and again. You may miss, it may become difficult, but you stick with it. It needs patience. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen here, he says here, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned this hadith on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha. She's informing us about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at home, since she is one of his wives. So she's telling us what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do at home, the ibadah. Since the many companions, they could not narrate this, but since she's with him in the house, and that's the benefit. So she's telling us about the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tahajjud, the night prayer, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in a long standing until his feet swell, until he has cracks in his heels and his feet. She said to him, "O Messenger of Allah, why do you do this? Why you put this hardship on yourself? Why you go through this while Allah has forgiven you all your sins, the past and the future?" The answer of the Prophet ﷺ said, "Should I not be a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says that Aisha radiallahu anha, she's the most knowledgeable of all people about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as related to the things he does at home, the things he does in the ibadah, his worship at home. Likewise, his wives radiallahu anhun, they have most knowledge. They are knowledgeable of what the Prophet ﷺ do at home. That's why the main companions of the Sahaba, they used to send, and they used to ask actually the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. They used to ask the wives of the Prophet ﷺ about what the Prophet ﷺ used to do at home. From that which they were informed is that the Prophet ﷺ used to make Qiyam al-Layl, meaning tahajjud prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Muzammil, in Surah Al-Muzammil, in the ayah 20, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. Verily your Lord knows that you stand to pray at night a little less than two-thirds of the night, or half the night, or a third of the night, and so do a party of those with you. So the Prophet ﷺ used to sometimes revive the most of the night. Sometimes he stay up most of the night praying tahajjud. Other times, half of the night. And other times, the third of the night. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, because the Prophet ﷺ gave himself a right, because his nafs has a right over him. He's a human being, needs rest. Along with that, the Prophet ﷺ stand in prayer, worshipping his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he used to sometimes revive more than the half of the night, almost two-thirds. The Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, according to the energy. If a person have energy, they can stay up more. But the Prophet ﷺ used to stand a long standing, so much so that his feet would crack, or the skin of his feet would crack. And swell. وَقَدْ قَامَ مَعَهُ شَبَابٌ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen says, we have narrations that some of the youth amongst the companions, they perform tahajjud sometimes with the Prophet. They stood his standing, but they were tired by doing so. For instance, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, he's narrating one of those moments he performed tahajjud with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, I performed a prayer one night with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning the night prayer. He says, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was standing for a long time, reciting. The standing was very long. He said, Ibn Mas'ud, I was thinking about doing something bad. They said, what is that you were going to do, O Abu Abdurrahman? He says, I was going to just go sit down and leave the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pray by himself. Sit down and leave the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, as this is in Bukhari and Muslim, he says that Ibn Mas'ud, a great companion, but he was about to sit. Why? Because he couldn't bear the long standing. He doesn't have the patience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, another example. He says, he stood up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Al-Baqarah in one rak'ah, then finish it, and this is a long surah. Then he finished it and he recites Surah An-Nisa as another very long surah. Then he finished it and recites Surah Ali Imran. These three surahs, they're like five juz and a quarter, almost. And Hudhayfa says, whenever there is an ayah, that the Prophet ﷺ come to an ayah and recite the ayah of mercy, he will ask Allah for mercy. Whenever he passed by an ayah of tasbih, he will glorify Allah. Whenever he reads the ayah of a torment and punishment, he will seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. And with that, you know that the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't recite very fast. He recites in a slow and a nice way, tartil. Over five juz, subhanallah. Along with that, he will stop, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at every ayah of mercy to ask Allah for mercy, every ayah that carries punishment, and he seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. The ayat of tasbih, he make tasbih. So now he says, do you have an idea how long the Prophet ﷺ was standing? It was very long standing. And this is what used to be the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ in his night prayer. And keep in mind, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, when the Prophet ﷺ make the recitation long, the ruku' and the sujood are long as well. So, all three of them, the recitation while he's standing, the ruku' and the sujood, they are long. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he tells us that, for instance, in the winter nights, when the night is long, 12 hours or so, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to spend almost two-thirds of that night standing. He says, let's say, more than a half, at least the Shaykh said 7 hours praying, 7 hours standing in a prayer in the long nights of winter. SubhanAllah, he said, 7 hours standing in prayer. Then it's patience. Then it's to strive, to subdue yourself. And all of this, the Prophet ﷺ, he's doing it to show thanks to Allah and to be grateful slave of Allah. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, in the answer of the Prophet ﷺ is a proof that thanking Allah is true obeying Him by fulfilling actions of obedience. So therefore, if someone wants to really thank Allah, he should be obedient. The Shaykh says, the more a person is obedient and spending his time upon obedience, the more that person is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thanking Allah is not just by saying it by your tongue, Ashkurullah, I thank Allah, I praise Allah. This is only a part of shukr that is with the tongue. But now the thanking here is through actions. The Prophet ﷺ is thanking Allah not just by saying, oh Allah, I thank you, oh Allah, I praise you. No. Through actions. That a person thank Allah with the tongue and also through actions by carrying out those actions of worship, everyone according to their ability. Likewise, this hadith is a dalil that the Prophet ﷺ's sins has been forgiven. Allah has forgiven all of his sins. The present, the past, and the future. The past and the future. And that the Prophet ﷺ left this dunya free from sins. Because he's forgiven. He said, also, other people, they may Allah forgive all their sins because of some righteous action that they have fulfilled and acted upon. For example, the people of Badr, the Sahaba who witnessed the Battle of Badr. They were some 317 men. And from them, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu. Because in a well-known story, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu, he committed a great sin. Because when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preparing to conquer, to go to Mecca, when Quraysh, the pagan of Quraysh, they break their promise and the covenant that they have with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they had agreed on in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu, he sent a written message to the people of Mecca to warn them and tell them that be aware, Muhammad is coming to you. Okay, and he's a companion. But the Prophet ﷺ was informed by the Wahy. By the Wahy, and so therefore he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and another man after the woman, because Abi Hatib radiallahu anhu, he sent that letter with a woman. So they found her in this place called Rawdat Hikhakh. It's in a way to Mecca. So when Ali radiallahu anhu and that man with him, they stopped her and they said to her, give us the letter, give us the message that you have, you taken to the people of Mecca, the pagans, the mushrikun. She denied at first. She said, I don't have no book. But then they sent by the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was informed by Allah. So they know that this woman, she's lying at that moment. Because they were sent by the Prophet ﷺ. So when she says, no, I have no book, no message, nothing, no letter, this says, you got to give it to us, otherwise we're gonna check your clothing and enter them and everything. So when she saw that they are determined, she gave them the message. And it was addressed from Hatib radiallahu anh to the people of Mecca, informing them about the move of the Prophet ﷺ. So they bring it back to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, told him, yes, this is the book that is from Hatib, warning the Quraysh, the pagans. So at that moment, Umar radiallahu anh, and he was very strong in the deen of Allah, he said, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to kill this man, Hatib, because he has fallen into hypocrisy. How could he write our secrets to our enemies? But the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. SubhanAllah. But the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Umar, as this is in Bukhari and Muslim, he said to him, O Umar, didn't you know that Allah has said to the people of Badr, do as you wish, I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. And Hatib, radiallahu anh, he was one of the people of Badr. And other than that, the Shaykh said, this is a great crime to give secrets of the Muslims to the enemies. This is a great crime. This is a big crime. That's an evil sin. But he is from the people of Badr. And also, the ulama, they mentioned that he didn't do it because he hated the Muslims. No, he loved Allah and he loved the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he loves the Muslims. But there is a story when he was asked why he did that. He says, O Messenger of Allah, everybody has somebody, some family members that defend them in Mecca. He says, me, I have nobody in Mecca, so I have property. I thought if I tell them this book, they may, you know, take in consideration this or take it as a favor. And so therefore they will protect, my family will be protected, my property and the like. Now, so from the Sahaba, from the people that Allah has forgiven them their sins, is the people of Badr. Some of the people of Nadi says you should know that this is from the thing that are only for the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that all of his sins are forgiven. So therefore, based on this, whenever you see a hadith that says whoever does this, all of his sins will be forgiven, the past and the future, that's a hadith is weak. Why? Because this is only for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, likewise, this hadith contains a virtue of the night prayer and making it long. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prays those who stand up at night prayer and they make the standing long. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Sajda, the ayah 16, قال الله تعالى تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع. Their sides forsake their beds, invoking their Lord in fear and hope. يدعون ربهم خوفا وطمعا. They are out of fear when they look at their sins. They are afraid. And they, what give them hope is the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have hope in His bounty. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And also they spent out of what we have bestowed on them. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said, these are people that are praised by Allah, that their sides forsake their beds, meaning they are not sleeping, not because they spend it watching TV or playing games or spending it with other people backbiting each other's and the like that some people do, but rather they spend that time while other people are asleep invoking Allah upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What make them do that? They are afraid of their sins and hoping that Allah forgive them their sins. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says that their reward will be paradise. Because in the ayah, he says, لا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من قرة أعين. No person knows what is kept hidden for them of joy as a reward for what they used to do. It is explained in the hadith, Al-Qudsi, that Allah says, أعددت لعباد الصالحين ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. I have prepared for my righteous slaves that which no eye has ever seen and no ear has ever heard and that which will never occur in the heart of any human being. Shaykh says, may Allah make us anew from those people who will dwell in these gardens of paradise. So once again, in this hadith, we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he's the best of mankind and he's the most righteous, the most pious. And yet the Prophet ﷺ, even though all of his sins are forgiven, he will meet Allah with no sins, but still look how long he will stay in obedience. We should do more so. And may Allah make us from them. Ameen. We continue inshallah next time. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.